Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 8 to you. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, but that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 8. We thank the Lord for His Word. We're continuing the series in Romans. We've been preaching on the gospel of Christ, this gospel message of Jesus, and I would say there's probably a little bit more there than we think there is sometimes. When we think of the gospel message of Jesus, we think of the simple message of salvation, but there's so much more to this message that God reveals in His Word. Last week I spoke on the law of God, and I preached pretty harshly against idolatry. There might have been some confusion even about what I preach on, because I preach so harshly against idolatry, placing those things before the Lord. Today we're going to be in Romans chapter 8. We're going to be talking about the life in the Spirit. Those that have the Spirit of Christ belong to Christ. You have His Spirit, you are His. The Spirit of God is our comforter, the Bible says, our helper, our counselor. The Greek word is paraclete. It is God's presence in our life. His comfort, His presence, His counsel. Christian victory. If you want a victorious Christian life, the Christian victory is directly due to His Spirit in us. God's presence in our lives directly is linked to our Christian victory. The Spirit of God helps us in our weaknesses. How does the Spirit help us? Six ways that the Spirit helps us, I want to talk about today. Six ways that the Spirit helps us. Number one, God's Spirit gives spiritual life. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verse 10. God's Spirit gives spiritual life. Paul insists that Christians must keep the law of God, but cannot do it in their own strength. In your own strength, it's hard to keep His Word. In your own strength, it's hard to continue to serve the Lord as He wants you to serve Him. But God empowers you by His Spirit. God's Spirit is synonymous with both His power and His presence. We talk about God's presence, we're talking about His Spirit in our lives. We're talking about God's power, we're talking about His Spirit in our lives. In verse 10, Paul says, "And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness." The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Christ are one and the same Spirit. We're talking about one Spirit, one Lord, one God, one baptism, Paul talks about, one faith. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ are one and the same Spirit. God is in you. The power of God is in you. Jesus Himself is in you. Christ is in you. Paul says, "Christ in me, the hope of glory." We can have comfort in that. This reality that God is in you, Christ is in you, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. God in you, the Spirit of God is in you. And if Christ is in you, Though the body is dead because of sin, sin has had its impact. Sin has done its work on us. We have, our body has limitations. I spoke about this at the funeral, but our body has limitations. We're often reminded of the impact of sin and the limitations that our body has. Someone yesterday told me, "You've been busy lately, Paul," and I have been. And we've had youth camp, and we've had VBS, and we've had the memorial service, the graveside, and all of that, and we've just back to back to back to back, and my body is feeling it. I'm feeling the effects of this. My body has limitations. I was moving tables and chairs around yesterday, trying to clean up over there, and I tweaked something. I've got something going on in my back that I probably should have y'all pray for me. But my body is feeling, I feel a little slower because of all the stuff that we've been doing. Our body feels the effects of sin. Yet our inward man is alive. The Spirit is alive. We have the spring of life within our hearts, deep down in our souls. No matter what the body goes through, no matter what, how tired or how sore we might feel, on the inside, we can be alive. The life comes out in ways such as, maybe not physically, but in such ways as faithfulness to the Lord. And our feeling alive comes out in our dedication to the Lord, in our service, in the way that we serve the Lord, our desire to share Jesus with others, our desire to comfort those that need comforted. Because of Christ being in us and being alive in us, no matter how tired we feel, we have these desires to help and to do these things that the Lord wants us to do. This life that we have within us, this zeal that is in our hearts, is what causes us to sing, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." That joy, that zeal that's in your heart, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. This life is a work. This life in us is a work of Christ, what Christ is doing in us. Sin has separated us from knowing the Lord, knowing Christ in us, but the work of Christ, what the Lord has done, Him dying on the cross for us, that work that Jesus has done now fills us with His Spirit, and we can cry, "Redeemed! Redeemed! We are saved, and we have that life within us." How wonderful that is! How awesome that is, that no matter how tired I feel today, I've got that life within me. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart to stay. Redeemed. Spiritual life. God's Spirit gives us not only spiritual life, but also gives us physical life in verse 11. "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit that lives in you." And I'm thankful for the resurrection that we're going to be having one day, but this is talking about our mortal bodies, not our changed bodies. We'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. We'll no longer have those mortal bodies, but this is talking about our mortal bodies. It is the power of God that brings the dead to life. That power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power. Jesus died on the cross, He was 3 days in the grave, 3 days and three nights, and He was brought back to life by the power of God, this same Spirit. And that same Christ that lives in you, Jesus and the Father dwells in you. Let there be no doubt, if you're a born-again Christian today, you have the Father and Son dwelling in you. His Spirit is in you. And that same Christ in you, that same God that dwells in you, that God is greater than any problem that you or I could face. No matter what today brings, no matter what tomorrow brings, greater is the One who's living on the inside of you than the problems that you face. I thank God for that. That same amazing power of God brings life to your bodies. That's what the Bible says here, life. The body is weak because of sin, but life is a gift from God. It's a gift to us from and by His Spirit. The Lord, by His Spirit, gives us strength. He gives us health. He gives us healing to those that ask. Bible's real big into prayer. I don't know if you noticed the asking of the Lord. "To those that ask and have His Spirit," And it usually, in the confines of physical reality, God is an amazing God, and God can go outside the confines of our physical reality if he wants to. But God does a lot of what he does within the confines of our physical environment and reality. He works with what we have. But God has given us strength and healing and health to those that ask and to those that have his spirit. These are believers, born-again believers that have access to the life that's in his spirit. In spite of ailments, I still believe God. In spite of being sick, I still believe God. In spite of what pain I may have in my body, I still believe the Lord. There was something that was bothering Paul, a messenger of Satan. It was bothering him. Paul sought the Lord three times. Thrice he sought the Lord. And thrice God said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul boasted in his weaknesses. We all suffer with weaknesses. It's a reality of the sin-worn life that we have lived. We all deal with weaknesses. I boast, Paul says, in my weaknesses. I boast that God's grace is greater than my weakness. God's grace is greater than any problem that I face, any issue that I'm dealing with. God's grace is still greater today. Prayer works. Prayer works. I appreciate Sister Carol brought me a testimony just the other day. Prayer works. I appreciate you sharing with me, Sister Carol, about how we prayed for you, how the elders prayed for her, and though there's still some issues, you mentioned that your muscles were more relaxed and you were feeling better as a result of it. Prayer works. Prayer still works today. If it works for one, it can work for all. God still hears and God still answers our prayer. We can still seek the Lord and pray, and God loves us. I wish any time that the Lord has... The problem is we don't always recognize when the Lord is at work. The problem is we pray and we don't always see when God is answering those prayers, and so we don't think to write them down or we don't think to offer a testimony, but I wish you would. I wish you would bring testimonies of what the Lord is doing in your life. I wish every Sabbath we had awesome testimonies of answered prayer. We just don't always take the time to write them down. Spiritual and physical life. Number three, God's Spirit helps us in overcoming sin. Verse 13, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if through the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Paul points out the twofold impact of sin. There's an immediate impact of sin on our lives, but there's also an extended impact. For the immediate impact of sin, we do have this physical body which is worn. We do have the effects of sin in the world around us. Because of sin, we deal with those immediate impacts. Weakness in the body is not the only thing that sin impacted. Without Jesus, we face the external impact of sin. We face eternal death. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." There is the long-term impact of sin that we would face eternal destruction in the lake of fire without Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for Jesus. But Paul shows us another way to die. He says to die to self. We are to die to ourselves, to put to death our desires of sin. Paul tells us in the Bible, he says, "I die daily." He dies to self every single day. Paul was not super way beyond us. He was an apostle, but he was not like immortal or unnatural. Paul dealt with the same things we dealt with, guys. Paul went through the same things we went through. And Paul says, "I die daily." I worked with a man in Missouri. His name was Bill. And Bill loved his buttermilk. I don't know if I can't remember the last time I've tried buttermilk, but he loved his buttermilk, and he every single night he had that buttermilk. He never gave it up. Every night he had buttermilk before going to bed or whatever he did at night, and he told me that he was like that up until he had kids. And the day he had kids and those kids needed milk, he died to himself. He gave up his buttermilk for the kid. And anybody that's had kids knows what I'm talking about. If you ever have children, to those people that have babies, you know what it means to sacrifice sleep. You know what it means to give up rest and sleep at nights and to die to yourself when it comes to having that good rest and good sleep. If you've ever had growing kids, kids that are getting a little bit older, while on a budget, if you've ever had them on a budget, you know what I'm talking about. You know what it means to sacrifice what you want so you can take care of those growing kids, those hungry growing kids. You're, in a way, dying to yourself. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. You know what, you can relate to that experience. In regards to sin, dying can seem like an impossible task. Surrendering our desires, surrendering our own will because we don't want to sin. It can seem like an impossible task. It's hard to do it in your own strength. It's hard to do it in yourself. But it's easy by the Spirit. It's easy by God's Spirit. God changes our desire. God gives us the power to overcome. We're no longer doing it in our own strength. We're no longer doing it by ourselves. It's hard by yourself. You try and try. How many of you said, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried to give it up, but I can't give it up? I've do it again. You've been there where you tried to stop doing something and maybe a couple days go by and you do it again. You tried in your own strength, but in the strength of God's Spirit, it becomes so easy because God changes your heart. He changes your desire. You no longer are wanting what you used to want. Suddenly what used to look good to you doesn't look good to you anymore, and it's all by the power of God's Spirit in you. Amen. Yes, amen. Whoever said it, amen. Thanks be unto God. By God's Spirit, we are more than conquerors. We are victorious through God's Spirit. We are more than conquerors. Great is He who is in us. We are not weak Christians. We are mighty Christians. We are not weak Christians. We are strong and we are powerful because of God's Spirit in us. And I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm talking about strength of character. Strength of the Spirit that's in you, strength of heart, strength of will, because of God who is in you. Greater is He, because of His Spirit that's in you, than anything you face. God uses the weak things of this world to confound the wise. We are weak, but He is strong. In overcoming sin and having the righteousness of Christ, you will live eternally. You have that eternal life that's in Jesus. When Jesus returns, you will live again, that eternal life on a new earth. Number four, God's Spirit helps with guidance. God's Spirit helps with guidance. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God and daughters. Well, I'm just quoting the Bible, sister. It's in there, though. It's in there, though. It applies to both. But I'm just quoting the Bible here. These are the sons of God. Remember, the Spirit of God is synonymous with both His presence and His power. By presence, He speaks tenderly to our hearts. By His presence, He continues to guide us every day so tenderly in that still, small voice. He speaks to us in the stillness, in the quiet hours. God shares with our hearts. By His power, He orders and directs our steps. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He makes things work out. He makes the bad things become good things. Are you listening to His voice? Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice." It's a quiet unction. It's a quiet unction on our hearts. God speaks in that quiet voice. Are you listening? Is the world too loud around you? Is the social media too loud, too much, that you can't take the time and hear that quiet, still, small voice? When preparing messages to speak, there's a quiet unction. And guiding, you know, God's quiet unction guided me. It's not a loud voice. It's not a thunderous voice. It's not a vision in the night. It's that still, quiet unction that God is directing the message a piece at a time. He influences my sermon choices. My general thoughts on the subject are influenced by the Lord. Just the general ideas as they flow, and I'll recognize it. As I'm working on it, I'll go, I believe that's from the Lord. I believe the Lord is guiding my subject choices and my word choices and things like that. Not that I'm perfect or even claim to be remotely close to it, but I do believe the Lord guides me as I'm working on these messages. My words I speak, you know, the Lord helps me as I speak. My words as I speak them, the Lord doesn't take over. You guys know that. God doesn't take over. God doesn't force me in any way. He just does it in his still, quiet, small way that he has always led me. He gently leads. The Lord gently takes our hands and leads us on. He gently leads our steps. We have to listen. If you don't take the time to listen, you'll miss it. To be aware of the Lord's leading. He says, these are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, salvation by sons or daughters, salvation is not tied to our ability to hear him. So while I'm encouraging you to listen to that still small voice, our salvation is not tied into that. That's not what he's saying here. Rather, God's Spirit has gently guided your decisions to choose Jesus. As many as have listened to that and responded and obediently said yes to Jesus, they have that eternal life. You are now a son and a daughter of the Lord because of that obediently listening to the Lord. Those in the flock of Christ are those who are now being led by the Spirit. So God is gently leading you. Those that are sons, those that are daughters, those that are in the family of God, those are the ones that are being led by his Spirit. Those are the ones that he's speaking to in that still small voice. God has led you up to this point of saying yes to Jesus, and now he's still leading you. He has never left you, has not forsaken you. He's leading you in that quiet small voice. As many as are led, those are the sons and the daughters of God, the ones that he is speaking to. There are times that this guidance does not feel fun. There are times that it may feel painful, but it's to our benefit. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, he says, endure discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons and as with daughters. It's not always fun. If you're in a place of disobedience to God, it is likely that God will convict you of sin. If you're in a place of disobedience to God, it's chances that he'll bring circumstances into your life that force you to face your disobedience. He'll allow for things to come that make your disobedience a reality, where you're forced to see it, to look in that mirror and see how you're being disobedient to the Lord. Rejoice! Not that it's so painful to deal with that, not that these kind of leadings are so harsh in your lives, but rejoice because God is dealing with you as a father. He would not do it if he didn't love you. He loves you as a dad. And that's why you're dealing with those disobedience. That's why he is bringing this discipline into your life. Rejoice. Life, victory, guidance. Number five. God's Spirit helps with the inward witness of salvation. Verse 16 of Romans chapter 8, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Very similar to God's guidance. So we're talking about God's guidance, we're talking about his leading, we're talking about how the Spirit speaks to, how God speaks to us in a still small way. Very similar, God speaks to our hearts that we belong to him, that we are his, that we're his children. God puts that in you, that you know that you are a child of God. It is a witness in the inner man. It is a witness on the inside of you, in your heart. God puts it there. He wants you to know that you are a child of his, that you are saved, that you are born again. This is how I find that God speaks to us in the voice of the conscience. It is an inward knowing that God gives us. You know that you are a believer and that God loves you. You know that you're a child of God. Some speak of peace in the heart. They say, I know God's speaking because of the peace that's in my heart. But what they're referring to, what they're actually saying, is that they have this knowing in their heart that the Lord is speaking, that the Lord is communicating to them, and that knowing brings them a sense of inner peace. That's really what is going on. That's the true cogs in the wheel, if you would say that. That's truly what's taking place, is that God is speaking. They know that God is communicating to their heart, and it gives them a sense of peace. If peace leaves us in difficult times, and friends, we all face those circumstances, those challenges, where we struggle to have that sense of peace. When peace leaves us, we can still have the peace of knowing in our hearts that God is leading and directing us and speaking to us. No, it may be a struggle, but you know that God is still there, that God is still present, that God is still with you. You can have that peace even in the midst of troubled times. What is God's Spirit bearing witness of? That you are His child. That you are a child of God. You are saved. You have eternal life. God's Spirit is bearing witness to that reality. Too many people question their salvation. Too many people wonder if they're really saved, and maybe you know somebody. I can quote you the scripture. I quote it often. You know, if I'm trying to meditate on God's word, this is the record that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, and he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. I can quote you that scripture for the most part. I looked at my notes just to make sure I was quoting it right. We have that record. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you can stand on the fact that you have eternal life. You can stand on the Word of God and stand on that promise. We're standing on the promises of Christ our Savior. You can stand on it. You have eternal life. This is the record that if you have Jesus, you have that life. But that's not enough evidence for everyone. They want to know in their heart that God did not forget about them. God did not forget about y'all. Guess what? God has not forsaken you and forgot about you. You who need the inward evidence, you who have a hard time standing on the reality, standing on the truth, standing on the promise that Jesus is in you, in your heart. If you have a hard time, God has not forgot about you. His Spirit bears witness in our hearts. We have that inward witness in our hearts that we have salvation. God is in that still small voice communicating your salvation to you. I thank God for that one too. Life, victory, guidance, inward witness. Number 6. God's Spirit helps in prayer. I don't often preach a 6-point message, but when I do, I'm excited. I'm on fire on this one. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. He helps in our... Likewise, how are we weak? He says, likewise, likewise. What is he talking to? Well, he's talking to how we were weak, all these ways that we're in need of him, all these ways that we need his Spirit. We are weak without him. Paul establishes that we're weak physically. Paul establishes because of sin, we're weak. Paul says we are weak spiritually because of sin. Paul shows us that we're weak in our wills towards sin. We're weak. We're weak without knowing the salvation of God's Spirit. Likewise, we do not know how we ought to pray. Prayer is powerful. It moves mountains. It can move that mountain in your life. It can calm the raging storm in your heart. Prayer, it can change who we are, change our heart. Prayer, it can bring us into alignment with the moving of God. If God is at work, prayer can help us to see where God is moving and bring us into alignment with it. It allows us to be touched by God. Prayer is powerful. Prayer aligns itself to God. Have you ever prayed, Lord, your word says, in my weakness, you are strong. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to be strong in my heart and in my life. And why? Why do we pray that kind of thing? Because we ask, the Bible tells us, to ask according to His will. And so we align ourselves with God, we align ourselves with God's Word, and when we pray, we're not praying according to our will, but according to God's will. We're aligning ourselves with God and His Word. Prayer is so powerful. But there are times that you don't know what to pray. There are times where you're in that moment and you just don't know how to pray. In fact, you maybe feel like asking someone else to pray because you just don't have it in you to do it. What then? What do we do in those moments? God's Spirit intercedes. God's Spirit intercedes. He helps. God helps in our weakness. We don't know what to pray. We don't know how we ought to pray. But God's Spirit Himself, God Himself by His Spirit, intercedes in you, in your heart, in your life. How does God's presence, how does God's power impact our prayer life? Twofold. It in fact impacts us mentally and it impacts emotionally. In our mind, God can direct your thoughts. You don't know what to pray for, but God will lead you to a certain scripture. And then you'll go, yes, I need to pray according to that. Or He can remind you of somebody that you need. You don't know what to pray, but then God puts it on your heart to pray for someone. And so God communicates in His small voice, in His way that He does in our hearts, He communicates what we ought to pray. But He also does in our emotions as well. God can stir our heart to compassion, to feel something towards someone we're praying for. You know, that's how Jesus would often pray. When Jesus would pray for somebody, He said He would be moved with compassion. Well, God can move by His presence, by His Spirit. God can move on your heart and stir you as you're praying for someone or praying for something. God can do that. Christian victory. Christian victory is directly due to God's Spirit in us, God's presence, God's power in our lives. Those that have the Spirit, in Romans 8 says, they belong to Christ. You don't have the Spirit, you do not belong to Christ. How does God's Spirit aid us as believers? It aids us in our weaknesses. And in our weaknesses, God provides these things that I pointed out to you, our spiritual life, our physical life, the ability to overcome sin, guidance, direction in our lives, the inward witness of our salvation, help in prayer. Paul points all of that out here in Romans chapter 8, how powerful that is in our lives. We need Him. As with Paul, we can truly say, in our weaknesses, Paul says, I boast in my weaknesses. Too many of us hide our weaknesses. In our weaknesses, He is strong. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are in need of You. All too often, we try to do it in our own strengths, by our own willpower, by our own muscle power, by our own mental, emotional power. Lord, it is way too hard. I ask that You continue to fill us full of Your Spirit today, Lord. Give us a special touch this morning and this afternoon, this Sabbath day. Touch us, Lord. Touch us fresh today and continue to speak to us, Lord, but help us to listen. Help us to hear You when You direct us, when You communicate to us. Help us to be aware that You're speaking to our hearts, Lord. Help us to not be led astray and confused and think You're speaking when You're not, but help us to hear the real voice. My sheep know My voice. Lord, help us to hear the shepherd. Thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You for Your strength. Thank You for Your power in our lives. Thank You for Your presence that comforts and heals, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.